going to.
Got it.
At St. Joseph. Okay, thank you. The surgery is not Savannah Memorial, but at St. Joseph. Okay, all right, thank you. Okay. Children's Church is dismissed. Follow that good-looking lady going that way over there. Now, we're going to do a couple of different things this morning. Not going to be like a typical, I'm just going to jump right in and do my sermon. I am, and then I'm not, and then I am. Okay. Okay, so let me try to explain. I do want to start out with what is basically the introduction to my message. Listen, I have been so affected by Acts chapter 17, which we looked at last week, last Sunday, and then we looked at it on Wednesday night and Sunday night, and we're going to look at it a little bit again this morning, but before we go there, I want to do a couple things. I want to ask you a question, and in a way, it's my introduction. Do you know what the number one destroyer of American lives or killer of American lives is? Now, it's not what you might be thinking. You might be thinking that the number one killer of American lives is cancer. It's not. You might be thinking that the number one killer of American lives is heart problems and heart failures and heart attacks and heart diseases. It's not. You might be thinking that the number one killer of American lives is gun violence, and there's a lot of it in America, but it's not. You might be thinking that the wars that we have fought over the years have been the number one killer of American lives. It is not. And you might be thinking, most of all, that the number one killer of American lives is the is car accidents, is which most people would pick. But it's not. The number one killer of American lives is abortion. Since 1973, when they did Roe v. Wade, legalizing abortion, it has now been over 55 million babies aborted in America. Did you hear that? Listen to me. Last year, I want you to hear this. Past year, 2015, 2014, Planned Parenthood aborted 300, and I believe it was 86,999. Enough to fill up Yankee Stadium over six times in 1 year. And listen to me, that was a down year of abortion. So let me ask you a question. Do we have a problem in America? You better believe it. And why God hasn't struck us down yet, I'll never know, because God is just, I do know, He's just more gracious and more merciful than we can ever imagine. I want to do a couple of things, and one of them is to read a little bit of a story. I'm going to do what I don't usually do. I'm going to pull out reading glasses. I'm a little like Richard up here. Well, a little better looking, but anyway, go pull out my... If you don't... How many of you get the Baptist Courier? Put your hand up. If you don't get it, you can contact Sybil and she can help you get it. But this is the front of this month's Baptist Courier. I mean, you may not be able to see it, but this is a one-legged teenager born that way. Her name is Savannah. I want to take just a moment to read her story. And by the way, it's out there. We printed it up. But I want you to hear this story, a little bit of it. In most ways, Savannah Duke is a typical 15-year-old. She takes honor classes and sings in the chorus at her middle school, and she swims for the varsity team at Spartanburg Dorman High School. She is involved with her youth group at the First Baptist Church of North Spartanburg. Like most girls her age, she frets over her complexion and fitting in all of that junk. Indeed, in most ways, Savannah is a typical middle schooler, but not in every way. Most of her friends, for instance, don't have to negotiate the social challenges of adolescence with only one leg. Most didn't battle cancer for the first 16 months of their lives. Most have never testified before a South Carolina Senate subcommittee and passionately defend the rights of the unborn. When Savannah was 20 weeks old inside her mother's womb, the doctor told her parents, Wendy and Scott, that their unborn child's leg was a quarter of the size of the right and had no knee or foot. The doctor also said the baby had a brain abnormality. That's what they said about me. And they still do. The defects probably indicated severe chromosomal or genetic disorder, which they said about our Caroline that we lost. The doctor said, and he urged the parents, and he urged the parents to terminate the pregnancy and to start over. Against our doctor's advice, and with much fear, we opted not to abort. Wendy told a panel of South Carolina senators, March 18, 2015, Duke was at the state house in Columbia to testify in support of a bill that would ban abortion past 20 weeks based upon medical findings that the fetus at that stage of development are capable of feeling pain. Ours did not turn out to be a worst-case scenario, Duke said during her testimony. Our family is a testament that the sole word of a medical professional does not deem a life invalid. Savannah, who was 14, then sat down in front of the legislators and she tested the microphone to make sure it was working, and then, drawing inspiration from Psalms 139, she spoke, God created my innermost being. He knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise Him because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. His works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from Him when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depth of the earth. He saw an unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in His book before any of them came to be. I'm glad my parents chose to save my life. On November the 10th, at the annual meeting of the South Carolina Baptist Convention, Savannah was recognized for her bold witness and activism in defending the sanctity of every human life, and she received a great reward at that meeting. And now listen, I want to tell you this much about Savannah. With one leg, she became a part of her school's swim team. And she swam a 20-lap marathon. Now, her goal was just to finish. She knew there was no way that she could win. And fighting with every breath, she heard her coach and another student on the side running along the edge, encouraging her on. And with their encouragement, she kept fighting and breathing, thinking that they're just trying to help her to finish. But little belongs to her, she was in second place. And she finished that race in second place. Was she a mistake of God? Let me just read one last thing, and then I'm going to show you something on the screen. When they went to testify to the subcommittee, her mother and her, the young lady and her mother, they asked the mother some questions and asked her to speak. And I want you to just hear a little bit of what she said. It's moving. And this is the mother speaking when she had to get up and share. She says, "The most gut-wrenching moment was a testimony of a mother whose son had been diagnosed," she's talking about a one who spoke before her, "with a brain abnormality. The law gave her the right to terminate, and she couldn't imagine her life with a severely disabled child. So she chose to end his life. An end she was told would be inevitable. I just wanted to hug her, to cry for her." This is Savannah's mother speaking. "I knew how hard it would have been to tell that story. As a mother, I understood her dilemma. But mine had a different ending, and I wish she had someone who could have told her that there was hope. So my heart was in my throat when they called my name next. I'm pretty comfortable speaking in front of the crowds, but I practically had to read my entire testimony word for word because my brain went dark when I sat down in front of that microphone, as it would to most of us. The emotions were big. I won't win any rewards for this delivery, but I told our story. How? Listen to this. At our 20-week ultrasound, we discovered that our baby's left leg had not developed, and she had an abnormality on her brain. How the doctors warned us that the birth defects were probably an indication of severe chromosomal and genetic disorder. How he strongly urged us to abort and start over. He never gave us hope that she could have a healthy life, but only told us the worst case scenario and how easy and common abortions were. I told the senator how the doctor's words terrified me, how I considered that abortion might be the most humane choice. My husband stood up for the two women in his life. He protected us, both of us, in our very vulnerable state. Now, here's what I want you to hear, and then I'm going to show you two pictures. Then I told them how during an amniocentesis, a week later, we watched on a monitor as our 21-week-old fetus recoiled from the needle inserted into her space, then slowly reached out and grabbed the shaft of the needle, holding on until the doctor shook it loose from her grip. Can you grab that scene? Can you understand that child, who's now Savannah, 15 years old, on the swim team of her school up in Spartanburg, that at 21 weeks, she reached out with her tiny hands and she grabbed the needle that they put in that womb to draw out some of the fluid so they could test it. And in order to get that baby's grip loose, he had to shake that needle in order to get that baby to let go so he could bring that back out. I want to tell you something. In the midst of that womb is nothing but life, folks. A human being. Not a blob of protoplasm, not just whatever you choose to want it to be. From the moment of conception, when the sperm and the egg come together, and the chromosomes from the father and the mother come together and they mash together, life begins. And everything that child will be, the color of their hair, the height they're going to be, the way they're going to look, it's all there. It's just a matter of development. Now, have you got them? Show the four-week one first. This is Sybil's new grandchild, our secretary. This is a one-month ultrasound. And it's hard to see, but on this side, you can make out the head. You can make out the arms, and you can make out the leg. That is at 4 weeks, people. There is a tiny human being. Now put up the next one. This is 12 weeks. That's 3 months old. What do you see? A child. You see a nose. You see where the eyes go. You see perfectly the mouth and the head. And you see the body going down through here. Just 3 months old. Thank the Lord for technology that helps us to see what's there. You know what's tragic? The better the technology has gotten, the deeper the abortionist group have dug in and stood more against life than ever. It is a battle that we're in against Satan and evil and ungodliness. You can take it down now. So I just want to ask you a simple question. I'm not going to preach a long message. I just want to put this in your mind to think. What went wrong in America that we allowed a child to be aborted right up the time of its birth? Thank the Lord, in some states they finally have taken stands and they're putting a limit. Thank the Lord that finally our Congress was able to send a bill to the president. He'll never sign it. He will veto the bill, but the bill was sent to him to stop funding Planned Parenthood, take it out of Obamacare. They sent it to him. But he will veto the bill, but they did agree, both in the Senate and the Congress, and they sent it up there. They will veto it. He will, I mean. But hopefully they can override the veto. I can't get it out. They'll be able to override it this time. But here's a question to ask. What happened in America that we can allow this to happen? What happened? And what can we do about it? And here's what happened. Christians, look at me. We gave up our Christian worldview. Listen. We allowed the so-called experts and professionals and professors to convince us through their so-called science that we don't need God, to have what we have, that we are products of evolution and not products of a creator. And we've allowed this to go on so long that even churches have come to believe now that we were evolved, that God used evolution to bring us about. That God's not very involved in our lives. He just kind of started it and threw us out there and left us alone to evolve and become what we are. We have lost what the Word of God teaches. And what the Word of God teaches, folks, is that God is our Creator. That we are not a pile of piece of junk that just happened to accidentally come together. I'm getting ahead of my message. Take your Bibles. Let me just read this real quick. We must, my message is called Reclaiming the Christian Worldview. And that's exactly what Paul did in Acts 17. He said to the Athenian people that were there listening to him in Athens, he says, here's where you got it wrong. You're worshiping many gods or no gods. He says, here's where you got to start and get it right. You start with the fact that there is one God and He's the creator of us all. My first point is simply, we must reclaim the fact that we are the possession of God. Let me start reading in Acts 16 and verse 22, 17 and 22. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious, for as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Now what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you. Now listen to what he says. Here's how he starts his message. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. Here's what he said. You need to understand, Athens. You need to understand, people who will ever read this or hear this message, that there's one creator. He's the God of the Bible. He is our creator, and everything that exists in the world and in the heavens and that there is, it came from God Almighty. Now, the very first verse in the Bible says what? Everybody quote with me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Listen. If I gave you the assignment to go through all the Bible and find every place where a pastor, preacher, teacher, prophet, apostle, anyone in the Bible who mentioned the fact that God was creator, do you know how long that would take you to do that? More than any other religious book in all of history. More than any other so-called sacred books, the Bible mentions the fact that God is creator more than any other book mentions that their God is creator. More than the Quran, more than the Book of Mormons, more than all of these other books, the Jehovah Witnesses and what they teach, more than what the Hindus teach, more than what any other group teaches, the Bible, the Word of God is clear. God is creator over and over and over. It reminds us that God is our creator. And your pastor is staying up here to remind you that Christians have got to recapture the fact that we're not accident, we're not pieces of evolution, we are a part of God's creation. We are the possessions of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And if we don't start there, everything else crumbles and falls apart. And that's what happened in the world with Darwinism taking hold and getting into our schools and our colleges and our universities. It has pushed God out and replaced it with Darwinism, that there is no God, that we are a product of chance. We are accidents. We are a product of survival of the fittest. We just happened to came about. And therefore, we are just an accident. And we are not a part of creation. If we are not a part of creation, then we are absolutely just drifting along, hoping for our best to get through is survival of the fittest. Let me just ask you a dumb question. If you flew to Mars, if you were chosen to be an astronaut, you were sent to Mars. No, let's put it this way. If you went to buy a brand new car and you went there and they said, okay, here's how you get your car. You go out to the junkyard and you stay there and you pray for a windstorm to come up. And when that windstorm comes up, it's going to pick up this part over there and that engine over there and the transmission over there and the body over there, and that storm's going to lift all that stuff up and bring it together, and poof, it's going to drop out a brand new car. Now, that I think that does happen to Chevrolet, but anyway, I want you to know, in all seriousness, when you go buy a car, you know that it has been designed by engineers. You know that it was put together by a team of people who drew it all up on the screen, then made models of it. And then after they did that, they went and made the parts for it. And then they had an assembly line and they put it all together. And you went to the car dealership to pick up and buy your new car, and you knew that had been put together by human ingenuity, putting that all together. There was a designer who designed it, and they made it, and they brought it to you. You know that it's not a piece of accident that just blew together by a storm blowing through the junkyard. You know that there were designers who put it all together, created it. It's the same way. When you look at life and you look at the world and you look at how everything is, you have to say, gosh, this is not accident. This is God. This is God. We were at SeaWorld. I love this. I tell them some folks this morning, we were at SeaWorld yesterday. We took Caroline to SeaWorld. Have you ever been to SeaWorld? Great place. We got there early and paid a little bit extra to go on this tour behind into the rescue area. And they took us behind this area to show us how they do all their rescue stuff. And between the three SeaWorld places in America, they have over 60,000 animals. Do you know how many veterinarians that they have at the one in Florida? If you had to guess, how many would you guess? 20? 30? 50? You know how many they got? 4. For all those animals. That amazed me. I thought, 4? For all those animals? Listen, here's what they said. When they bring animals to recoup them and to heal them up, you know what they do? They put them with other of their animals, and those animals work together to bring about the healing of those animals. They don't need many veterinarians. You know why? Because God instilled in those animals the ability to take care of themselves. They're not a piece of evolution. They are amazing creatures created by God, instilled in them the ability to take care of themselves. Oh, listen to me, people. If we'll recapture as Christians just this one fact, we can turn things around within the church. Let me just give you my last 2 points and just say them. We must reclaim the fact that God, that we are the possession of God, that He's our Creator. We must reclaim the fact that we are the purpose of God. And we must reclaim the fact that we are the pursuit of God. Let me just read it, wrap it up, close it out. Listen to what he says again in verse 24 and following. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hand. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact place where they should live. God did all of that. But why did he do it? Here's the purpose. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Here, listen, we are the purpose of God. He created us so that we could know him. He created us to know him. You're not junk just drifting along. No, you are created by God, and you are created with a purpose, and that is to intimately know God. That makes you special. In the beginning, when he created us in verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1, he created us in the image of God. He didn't do that with the animal world. He didn't do that with the insect world. He didn't do that with the plant world. He only did that with human beings so that we could intimately know him. That makes us special. And if we'll recapture that special aspect of God's creation of our being, we'll look at every child in the womb as a special creation of God. And then last of all, we are the pursuit of God. He wants us to know him, but because of our sin, we couldn't, so he made a way. And that way is through Jesus Christ. He pursued us. You want to know why those children are special in the womb? Because God, they are the possession of God. They are the purpose of God. And they are the pursuit of God. He pursued us. And that makes us even that much more special. He pursued us by giving his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, Christians, we must recapture the fact that we are God's creation. And the purpose he created us was to be able to know him, just human beings. And in order to make it possible, he pursued us by sending Jesus Christ after us. That makes every human being from conception on sacred in the sight of God. We must reclaim this worldview that we are God's creation. Let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray today that as we've been preaching about repentance, I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we will repent and get right, that we have so allowed our Christian worldview to go out the window and replace it with whatever is popular, with whatever the so-called professor is saying, with whatever the so-called scientist is saying, to leave you out of it. Forgive us, Lord. And I pray, help us as Christians, at least the church, that America may never recapture it, but help the church to recapture it so that we ourselves will be a people who count every human being as sacred and special. So much so that you sent your Son to die for us. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, not to look at that child in the womb as anything other than the child. And then, Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Jesus for that person who was so led astray by so-called experts to give up their child, just as this mother, Savannah, and just as they tried to get me and Tammy to do with our Caroline that we lost. They thought we should abort her. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you will so help those who have, dear Father, had abortions to understand that part of the Christian worldview as well, that because they are special as well, those that have made this mistake, that you love them as well, and you will forgive them and heal them and help them. Help them to understand that this worldview is both to stop abortion, but to heal the mother who's been through abortion. Help us, Lord, to be a people that reclaim and recapture our Christian worldview. To the glory and honor of Jesus we pray. Amen. I show you this. You saw our table out there and full of these baby bottles. And see, I believe that as Christians, part of the worldview as our prayer was that if we recapture our Christian worldview that God is our creator, that we've been created in the image of God and that his purpose is that we can know him and he's pursued us, that means that those of you in this room, some of you have probably been led and encouraged to have an abortion, and you did, and it has affected you, and you probably feel terrible after my message. I don't want you to do that. I want you to understand that I'm trying to put a stop to this terrible thing, but I also want you to understand that God loves you, and because you are special, he will heal you and forgive you, and some of you have probably already experienced that as well. But what we want to do is not only try to stop it, but we also want to help make a difference, not only by trying to get it stopped in through legislation, but through helping women who have trouble pregnancies or who are being encouraged to consider abortion. We can help the Beaufort Women's Center. It's a nonprofit faith-based community organization that provides pregnancy support services and education to promote and preserve life for families in Beaufort and the surrounding area. And we've been doing this for a couple years, and what we do is we ask you to take one of these baby bottles and fill it up with change. It don't have to just be pennies and dimes and quarters and nickels. It can be dollars, certainly. And then what we will do, we will take them all up and take them back to them so that they then can use that money to help their organization impact our area for the good of trying to preserve the life of the unborn, the life of the mother, and the life of the family and our community. So put your name out there, take one, and fill this up. It is a great day to make a commitment to do that so that we can be a part of the solution. We may never turn America around, but let's be a part of the solution ourselves and help each one that we can help save a life as the best way that we can, is to pray, fight for it legislative, and help women's organizations like this so that we can help protect the life of the unborn. You say, why are you preaching this today, preacher? Because this is the Pro-Life Sunday. 1973, in January, they passed the Roe v. Wade decision. I believe it was actually on the 22nd, if I remember right, of January. So every year at this time, we focus upon this. And so I challenge you, let it be said that Great Swamp, it's making a difference for the life of the unborn and for life in general. Because if we get our Christian worldview back in front center. Listen to me. It'll help change a lot of things about the way we view things and deal with things. We'll remember that God's creator, if he's creator, we need to hear what God has to say about how we do things. If he has anything to say about how we do things, then that's the way we better do it. Because he created us for a purpose. Amen and amen. All right, we're going to stand and we're going to have a hymn of invitation. Today, what are we going to pray about? We're going to pray that God helps us reclaim our Christian worldview. We're going to pray that God helps us to take a stand and be counted. We're going to pray and ask God to help us with forgiveness and healing if that's what we need. We're going to pray that God help us as churches to repent that we have become so lax on these issues. We're going to pray a lot of prayers about this matter. And I'm going to ask you to come and pray about these matters with me. But if you need to talk to me about whatever God may be laying on your heart today, I'm right here also to help pray with you about whatever it is. You come as we stand and as we sing.
Number 307. 307, let's stand together and sing Just As I Am.
Most of you know this precious lady, Miss Amanda. She is a special lady and comes to our church regularly. And she has decided to move her membership back to Great Swamp Baptist Church from Faith Baptist Church. And she also assures me that Jesus Christ is her Lord and Savior. She's excited to be here. She wants to serve the Lord right here at Great Swamp Baptist Church. So if you are in favor of receiving her through the moving of her membership from Faith Baptist Church, would you say amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. Man, it's good to have you. We love you, and we're thankful that you are here with us. And you encourage her today and let her know you're glad that she has made this decision. Now, we're going to sing one more verse. If anybody else needs to move for any reason, as we sing one more verse, you come. And you just stand right there. Thank you. I'm going to ask you to come and stand here, Amanda. By the way, Hodges is her last name, everybody. I didn't say her last name, but it's Amanda Hodges, and we're tickled to have her, and I'm going to ask you to come by and let her know that you're glad that she's made this decision, that you're going to be praying for her. All right, remember, in the morning, it's important, remember to pray for Brandy and all these other people in the hospital and their recoveries. Lift them up and ask God to move mightily in their midst, okay? Also, pray about our country. Pray about this matter that I was talking about. Pray that the legislative bill they sent up to the president, that even if he vetoes it, I got right, that they'll be able to override his veto and put a stop to using our own money to abort babies in the womb, taking their lives, the number one killer of American lives for many years now. And so you pray, and you might write and encourage your representative, our representatives, to take that stand if it comes back to them, to stand up and get it done. Thank you. Say something about that for me. Tonight we have the Jacob brothers, right?
Wednesday night, the Jacob brothers. Tonight is the Lohr family at 6 o'clock. Love you.
By the way, this family that's coming tonight, they're singing at Red Dam this morning. They'll be here tonight. They are great. I've just heard them by way of YouTube, but they are powerful. They are a young family that just sings powerfully for the Lord. That's at 6 o'clock. It's a love offering. Come out and be excited and be a part of that. Thank you for reminding me of that. And be a part of that. This great event we'll have tonight at 6 o'clock. You'll be thrilled. Bring your neighbors, your friends, your dogs, your cats. Just bring them all out. And we'll have a great time tonight worshiping the Lord at 6 o'clock with this family. Okay? Thank you. God bless you. Come by and say hello to Miss Amanda after our closing prayer and encourage her. Amen.
Father, again, we thank you for your love and for the mercy you've given us, Father. And Father, forgive us for cowering in a corner as we've let the scientific and medical community and the government officials, whoever it would be, allowing them to get away with allowing abortion to become legal in the first place. It shouldn't be legal. It's not even right. And Father, just help us as a church to stand strong, stand firm, and stand on your word. And let us realize that enough's enough. We need to stand before we fall into any more deeper problems than what we already have. Father, your word is truth. Your words are to live by and will give us prosperity and peace and joy that we can only find in you. Father, thank you for the message you have given us today, Father, and I hope that it encourages and makes a difference in our lives. And Father, if people have had abortions, let them know that you still love them, that it's not unforgivable, that Father, that they're still love, you still love them. And mistakes are mistakes, and wrong's wrong, but you are there to forgive us. If you weren't, none of us would have a chance. Father, we just thank you again for your grace and mercy and for all you've done in our lives. for your son Jesus that came and paid the price for our sins so that we could be right with you again. Father, just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.